London makes me sad right now as a team. I want them to be better. I was watching them beforehand, and I was just like, guys, please stop embarrassing me in front of literally
everyone.
Listen, bud,
I'm a Dallas Fools fan. How do you think I feel? All the time.
Look, it's like being at prom and discovering that your date knows how to, like, floss, and that's it.
At least their teeth will be clean.
London makes me sick.
Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table. Today we have Diana, myself, Carter, and Scott. We don't have last names. We lost them in the war.
Ian took them in the divorce.
Ian took them in the divorce. Yeah. This is a show for us, a group of friends, to sit around and talk about things that we like. And today, that thing will be the Overwatch League. The Overwatch League, for those who don't know, is an esports league where they play Overwatch. Esports, if you are not familiar, is just the term for competitive video games, like in a structure, you know, like a league or a tournament.
Highly competitive video games, though. It's not just like, you know, like competitive in the sense that like you might have a competitive, you know, amateur football league in your town. This is like the NFL version.
Esports is just a term to describe competitive video games, essentially, like that. Like if you are playing, let's say, Rocket League or Dota 2 or something like that, those are esports. But generally, you call them esports in the context of a tournament, you know, outside of just like what you can do structured within the game. Overwatch, if you don't know of it, is a 6v6 class-based first-person objective-based shooter, which is a lot of bullshit words. And if you don't know what Overwatch is, we've actually done an episode about it in the past. I don't know what episode it is off the top of my head.
It's called Give That Lady Some Pants.
Yeah, that is the episode title.
If you've played video games but not Overwatch, think of it as shooting game called like Call of Duty meets skill-based fast strategy game like League of Legends or Dota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's precisely what it is. So that is what esports is, and that is what Overwatch is. If you're curious about Overwatch, go listen to our podcast or our episode about it. I think it was pretty solid. But the Overwatch League is
one more
the
point
combination
before you,
of those things. Oh, yeah, please.
You talk about it. The important thing here, if you're not into esports, is that they're not winning the video game. They're beating other people. It is competitive against other players. That is the sport part of it.
Yeah, you're not just like completing a run of Mario. You are straight up fighting against other real people, real time kind of deal.
And then you play video games.
Yeah, you do have to kill them first, and then the winner gets to play Mario.
You have to fight their ghosts.
All right, Overwatch League.
Yes, Overwatch League. So Overwatch League is, as I hinted at before, the epitome of Overwatch esports. This is, like Scott said, the NFL of playing Overwatch. You know, Scott, myself, Diana, Ian, we all play Overwatch just, you know, casually. But these guys, the 20 teams that are within the Overwatch League, are the top, let's see, what's 20 times 12, guys? It's 200 and a number. 240. It's the top 240 players in the entire world of this game, and there are millions and millions of players.
By some metric, the top. Obviously, like the NFL, it could be that you're the secret hidden Tom Brady, but they've been drafted.
Yeah, these people have. That is a good point to make. Is that there are, I'm sure, some more fabulous players out there. But it's a matter of being drafted onto a team, playing well with the team, and the team wanting you in the first place.
Yes.
Which is also a great, hey, why is there only one lady in Overwatch? Well, there are wonderful Overwatch women players, but not all of them are drafted onto teams.
It's much like you would have in regular sports, in that there isn't a kind of a formal, like, grand tournament that decides you are the top 240 players based on this one outcome. It is mostly like people play amateur level, and then there's like various smaller amateur level leagues, and the top players get recognized out of that and are picked to be on Overwatch League teams.
One thing that is different about the Overwatch League from other esports is just that it is not a grand tournament. Rocket League, for example, does have just like here is our tournament. If you are in the tournament, then you are one of the top teams because you earned your spot into the tournament. The Overwatch League is much like a traditional sports league like the NFL, NHL, MLB, something like that, where the teams are, for one, geographically based, not necessarily actually physically there, but they represent a city. And for two, they require buy-in slots. So organizations will buy a slot in the Overwatch League that they then have a team that they can put into that slot. And these slots are several million dollars. You know, it's no chump change here.
Guys, there's a lot of, like, I don't know that I can really stress this enough, but there is a lot of money that I've done presentations before on esports versus other sports. It is surprising sometimes to somebody who is not very familiar with video games. There is so much money that goes into esports and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Like, I realize it's hard, like, just breaking down the costs of some things. If you're not very familiar with video games, that's chill. You live your bliss, my man. But, like, I cannot stress, there's a lot of money that goes into these kind of, like, setups, events, advertising, all sorts of stuff. It's wild.
Yes, absolutely. One thing about the Overwatch League is that it is a 7-month adventure, at least the meat of the season. So season 2 just kicked off last week, so that's why we're tackling this now. Last year, the season lasted 7 months from February whatever to June whatever. No, not June. August?
Love that day.
Whatever it was. It was a 7-month season, I think, as opposed to just how most competitive video games are played at a high level, which is just an amalgamation of tournaments across the year.
Yeah. I mean, there's some other high-level esports, like League of Legends has kind of its own league. You wouldn't really call it that because it's in the name, just like Rocket League. But they have like a season-based structure, which is much more familiar to traditional sports that you would see, like, you know, there's a baseball season and there's the, you know, NFL season that most people are familiar with, that all lead up to like a kind of a big tournament, but you're playing regular matches so people get invested in teams. And like Carter said, they're based on real life cities, even though the players aren't really from there. Like the New York Excelsior, the New York backing team, are all Korean, I think, at this point.
Same with London. Yeah. All of London, none of them are from London. Yeah. None of them are from the UK.
It's still a fun dynamic because people are like, hey, I live in New York. I'm going to root for New York. And it gives kind of like it gives you that psychology that you have with sports teams that makes you want to root for somebody or like makes you feel closer to them, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
It's fun to be able to be like, hey, you know, I'm picking the city because I live in the city, and oh man, they have a team, and this is so exciting, and sometimes they have matches in my city, and LA has two teams, which is wild, but, and it is fun. It's fun to be able to root for your team and, like, enjoy it, and it's kind of one of the wonderfully unique things about Overwatch League is that you have these city-based teams where you can just be like, ah, oh, man, you're London. Oh, I was at a convention, and I was a London, and my London boys were playing, and I walked into two Philly groups, and they're just like, oh my god, you're for London? Philly all the way. It's an accurate portrayal of their voice, but it's fun, because it's all in good nature, and it's just really, it's a good time to be able to be like, wear all the swag and have a good time.
Yeah. I want to do some quick comparisons of Overwatch League as an esport compared to like the structure of a real sport, say football. Football, you generally have teams that play each other within conferences or whatever, and then they go to playoffs, and then there's the Super Bowl. Each game is its own self-contained thing with a set of rules, and the structure is kind of imposed on top of that. Overwatch has a couple more levels in the Overwatch League in that each kind of sitting where the teams play against each other is actually multiple games. The games are short. They last, you know, 20 minutes-ish. And they actually play at least 4 games when they play another team. And they sometimes have a tiebreaker. And your record at the end of the season determines whether or not you make it to the playoffs. And the playoffs are a traditional kind of tournament style like you would see playoffs in the NFL that leads up to the final game, which you could compared to the Super Bowl.
I think, honestly, football is probably the best comparison that we could make to Overwatch League in terms of setup, like you were saying, because, yeah, you essentially have playoffs to the Overwatch League Super Bowl, for better lack of terms.
Well, you have kind of like just like the regular season, and records in that determine eligibility for playoffs, say.
So yeah. One other comparison that I think is apt to traditional sports is what Blizzard, the company who develops Overwatch, has deemed their path to pro. It's a little bit different from traditional sports in that I think it's more concrete in traditional sports how you would get to a professional team, at least in terms of the avenues you would take to get there. You can't walk onto a professional team in neither Overwatch nor the NFL most of the time. But there's most some. Of the time. But what Blizzard has done is really formalized a farm league. And there is some mixed opinions on this because they don't treat the farm league with as much love as those players would like, and the people who like that league would like. But it's called Overwatch Contenders, and there's actually even levels below that. But the tier two scene is called Overwatch Contenders, where a lot of the highest level teams, but not the highest level teams, but a lot of very high levels, quality teams who have sort of naturally formed as opposed to teams that were, you know, bought and sometimes formed through, you know, scouting, things like that. But a lot of these naturally formed teams will come up and really test their mettle in this second highest level. And I think that is an important part to note about the Overwatch League too, is that it has a farm league.
Yeah, it has. This is the Overwatch Contenders, if you're unfamiliar. If you like Overwatch League and you want more stuff, check out Contenders. You can sometimes compare it to like a minor league baseball team, but like Carter said, it's much more homegrown, and that like even minor league baseball teams are like formal things and they're attached to places. Contenders, like, you can more, not easily, but you can actually just come into Contenders on your own. Yeah. Kind of grassroots. Yeah. Style.
There's actually a play-in league. There's a league that you play, and if your team wins that or gets a certain, you know, ranking in that league, you get a slot in Contenders. And I think that's so cool that just like any old schmuck, if they're good enough, can just get their way into the tier two scene.
Yes.
Hey guys, I know what we're doing this weekend.
Losing Overwatch a bunch?
Losing yeah. Overwatch.
Just like last weekend.
Anyways, I think that's a pretty solid overview of the Overwatch League.
I did have, I think we should bring up your last kind of point that we skipped when we talked about the players and kind of buy-ins and stuff. Players have a minimum salary requirement in addition to the buy-in that the team kind of places for the slot. Did you want to talk about that, Carter?
Yeah, sure. I would love to. So in the Overwatch League, this is not Overwatch Contenders, but in the Overwatch League, Blizzard imposes a minimum salary for each player of $50,000. Now, if you are at all familiar with professional sports like football or something, that is not a professional sports player salary. That being said, Overwatch is a small esport. Even in the realm of esports, it's not big. It's not huge, at least. That being said, players there are some players that have been signed with up to $150,000 salaries, which is significantly more than I make. But on top of their normal stuff that they're getting from the Overwatch League, a lot of them also make a considerable amount of money streaming.
There's also deals and stuff for advertising.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sponsor. There's ad it's just deals, like regular sports. Things like that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's regular sports and stuff like that. But one thing that is sort of at odds for the players is that if you are an Overwatch League player, oftentimes, you know, you're scrimming, you're practicing, you're doing all this stuff, and so you can't be streaming, which is where a lot of these other players who are very popular get a majority of their income from. And so the decision to become a professional Overwatch League player often detracts from how much money they're making for a lot of these higher level players. So if you're familiar with the scene, then Seagull would be one of those players. He deliberately quit the Overwatch League scene because he wasn't able to stream as much. And I'm not saying that the money is why he quit, but he was making less money because of it.
Yes, which is an interesting point.
Can't blame him.
The best part here is that like it is a real salary that people are being paid, and it's enough money to live on and keep playing Overwatch.
Yeah, it is. Like that salary limit or that salary minimum is not present in the farm league of Overwatch Contenders.
Yes.
That is something, one of those things.
Well, it's also like you don't have to be sponsored in Contenders. Like,
correct. Yeah, that is true. But it's one of those things that players don't like about Contenders.
Well,
that
they're not getting paid. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of expected. I mean, I would like to be paid.
That's fair.
I do like how they've made it so official in the Overwatch League. Like, teams feel like such solid entities. In other esports, you have, like, the Cloud9 team sponsored by Cloud9, right? Like, mm-hmm. and that organization feels like it can go away at any time if they just stop sponsoring it because they decide it's not worth their business. But if you kind of detach the at least the labeling and you have these kind of forced salaries and stuff, it makes it feel more like it, it has the same illusion as sports, right? Like, nobody's going to take away, you know, the... I'm trying to think of a football team that's not the Redskins because they might have their name changed.
Patriots.
Yeah, like the Patriots. You're not going to take away the Patriots. They might get, you know, a new general manager and they might, you know, have new ownership, new coaches, all
they
that stuff.
They might get moved.
They might
teams
get moved.
Move different locations, but, like, but...
The Patriots, the idea of the Patriots, the thing that, like, people who aren't so super invested and know all the details are like, I'm a Patriots fan. That can't change. Whereas, like, if, say, Cloud9 pulled out of some other esport, it's like, oh, what team do I back now? You have to go and find where your players actually are and all that stuff.
Yeah, that that is actually really crucial, I think, to the Overwatch League's success that it's had so far. Scott and I, before we got into Overwatch, the two of us followed Rocket League fairly closely and the esports scene in that. One thing that sort of threw me from that scene is that often, sort of as Scott alluded to, we weren't following teams, we were following players. You know, so like I was a big fan of Espeon. He was somebody we actually knew. So like we followed him. Or Kronovi was another big player. There are these big players, but they shift teams so much, and you know teams disband and regroup that you don't care about what team they're on. You just care about the fact that they're the player on the field right now.
Or you're like, oh, I'm a fan of Kronovi and that one other guy he's been on a team with, and it's kind of fluid and stuff like that. Because not only do people like leave teams and stuff like that, but teams get like reorged or they get bought or they get sponsored and they get unsponsored, and it's kind of a mess to keep following.
For a while, I would follow some StarCraft stuff because I knew I had followed the streamer that had essentially built their own team. I followed Total Biscuit for a very long time until his passing, bless. And so he had a StarCraft team for a while, and so I followed that specific team because I knew I watched Total Biscuit for like years as a streamer.
And that, you know, comparing that to the Overwatch League, I'm going to pull one of the teams in that I'm familiar with. The Shanghai Dragons. The Shanghai Dragons had a 0-40 record last season. Absolutely garbage. They were a fan favorite. Teams loved them, or players loved them.
People love an underdog, but more to my point, people love them, and they love them even when they switched out half the team comp.
True.
About halfway through season one, once they were allowed to start rotating out their teams, they subbed or they let go of or subbed out half of their players that were starters and picked up three new ones. And, you know, players or people still love the Shanghai Dragons. This season, they swapped their whole coaching staff. They dropped all but two of their players and then re-upped all of that. Players are still like, that's the Shanghai Dragons, and I still love them. And like that's how I feel too, and that really ties it back to that geolocated thing that we were talking about earlier. Is that people have a reason to like a team more than just the players. You know, it gives newcomers something to latch onto, other than just a player or an organization that might fade in or fade out. It is something that I really appreciate about the Overwatch League that is different from, I would think, most other esports out there.
At least the ones that we've watched.
At least the ones that we've watched.
I was talking to my coworker and I was like, hey, you want to start, are you into Overwatch League at all? Because he's a pretty solid Overwatch player. And he's like, yeah, you know, a little bit of this and that. I'm like, we had both studied in London together. And I was like, you're rooting for London with me. And he's like, okay, because that's a city that we both love. And it's like, congratulations, Connor, you're rooting with me for London. He's like, cool.
Yeah. We've already touched on it a bit. I want to get into just summarizing season one. Season two obviously just kicked off, very fresh in our minds. Wild. But let's talk about season one. There are fewer teams. I think there were, 12 teams last season, Carter?
Yep, 12 teams.
They just added like 4 or 6 of them.
They added eight more teams, yeah. I thought it was really interesting. I was a Gladiators fan last season. And it does have kind of some comparison to sports here, where there are definitely more solid teams than the others. Unlike, I think, a lot of traditional sports, it wasn't that there were like teams that were killing everybody, you know, like teams that were super, super good. I think near the top, at least by the end of the season, it was very, you know, very close and felt competitive. But there was like a very, very bad tale of teams that were just kind of like, oh yeah, this game's going to be a wash. And it wasn't because the team was like that super good team. There was just a couple of bad teams.
Don't vague me like this, Scott.
The Dallas Fuel, Carter's favorite team.
Don't at me.
Carter's favorite team. I lived in Dallas for a year, and it happened to be during that year that the Overwatch League was announced. And so by some horrible twist of fate, I became a Dallas Fuel fan.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
And
Real quick. What team did you start rooting for, and what team do you root for now that we're starting Season 2?
Well, I started rooting for the Dallas Fuel. Like, that was my OG team. Mm-hmm. They are, or were, bad. They're looking better this season. And I still am following them. They're my number one team. I have my jersey. You know, I have a button that Diana got me that I, you know, wear on my backpack all the time. But the new team that I've picked up is the Vancouver Titans, which Ooh. Is a team that was picked up wholesale. The entire team was picked up from Overwatch Contenders, that farm league, which is why I love them. They were team runaways, and they had a really pretty, like, pastel pink and blue and black color scheme. It was very pretty. They were awesome.
Yeah.
Scott?
I didn't really have a team until, you know, people started picking teams in Season 1. And I picked the Gladiators because at that point, they weren't a great team and they weren't a bad team. They had a pretty close to 50-50 record at the time I picked them. But they also had, like, a kind of interesting mix. Especially during the beginning of season one, there was kind of like this clash between like the Korean team playstyle, because there were a couple of just like full Korean teams who came in with their own kind of unique playstyle from their region. There are a couple of like kind of Western teams, which were a different playstyle, some from America, some from Europe. And the Gladiators are a very diverse team, or at least they were at the time. They had Bishu, who's an American. He's a Korean American. And they had a couple of Korean players they picked up. Namely, Fisher was like a huge star that they pulled in after he was dropped by another unnamed team. they had kind of this support duo from Europe who, you know, played a lot differently than I would say the Korean sports did. And they kind of had this overall team culture that reflected in their play style, or maybe their play style reflected the culture. I don't know. It was unique, and it was fun to watch, and they seemed to, like, actually be having fun when they were playing. And they were purple, and purple is my favorite color.
Nice.
The main reason there. So, like, 10% that detailed conversation, and 90% they were purple. You know, as people normally pick sports teams.
Yeah.
Love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Diana?
I started rooting for London because, out of all the cities that were available, I had just spent the past year being in various cities throughout the world because I was doing some study abroad programs, and London was the city I spent the longest in and that I had the best memories of. And I really love the colors, which is this beautiful, like, bright blue and awesome orange. And so I decided to pick London Spitfire. They're
Diana,
still my number one team.
Do you think blue and orange is good? I'm going to have to revoke your Virginia Tech diploma if you like UVA.
Scott, damn. All right, that's fair. I didn't think about that. Brutal.
All right, Scott. Jesus. No, they're blue and orange is gross. I like the bright blue and very bright orange together. I think it just looks dynamically really cool. I still root for them as my number one team, but my number two team... my number two team, as if it's actually a team. My number two person is Gaguri. Any team she's on, I'm there. She's the light of my life. She's the only lady in Overwatch League, and she is the light of my life.
Only
and
player,
she's on Shanghai.
Only female player in the Overwatch League, yeah. And for those who aren't familiar, she is on the Shanghai Dragons. I think we may have mentioned that earlier, but she is, yeah. She's very good.
She is so good, and we can tell her story later, but she is the light of my life. She's the only lady, woman, proud, strong, representing us in Overwatch League, and I love her with all my heart.
So,
I think...
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's enough about teams for now. Why did you start watching in Season 1, and what made it interesting for you?
So, personally, I started watching because it's Overwatch. I've put in 1,200 hours into Overwatch. I think I'm getting on 1,200 hours. So that's too many over the past 3 years. But, you know, I had played Rocket League with Scott for a while, and we followed that scene. And you know, I was kind of missing that because I had stopped playing Rocket League to play Overwatch, and Overwatch's competitive scene was difficult to break into because of these teams that were constantly shifting and they were difficult to watch sometimes. The spectating wasn't always very good. Just the way that the Overwatch looks in its default skin was unpleasant to me personally as a spectator. But the Overwatch League, you know, I had that personal tie with Dallas Fuel. I had they were bringing out this cool new jersey system where all of the team skins and the effects were all the same color, so you could tell who was doing what, even if you didn't know what was happening, which is, you know, something they've done for new viewers. And it was just this very concrete thing that I really enjoyed the concept of and began watching it. And I really love good competition, y'all. That's why I kept watching.
All right, I'm going to go next.
Please.
Go for it.
I started, the very first time I watched this, like, somebody's like, hey, I think it was Carter, you should watch Overwatch League. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like something that I would enjoy doing. But, like, what instantly hooked me was, like, super, like, ridiculously high production quality compared to, like, I had seen Overwatch tournaments before, but usually it's, like, somebody streaming, like, their first-person point of view playing, or they've got casters in their underwear in their bedroom just, like, doing, you know.
Don't out me.
doing a voiceover as they're watching the tournament. Overwatch League is not that. If that's what you're picturing, that is how some, I won't say esports, because a lot of esports are more professional than underwear in your bedroom, but a lot of, like, you know, competitive game tournaments are run that way. It's all online. This is not that. They're on a local network. They're in a huge stadium in front of hundreds, if not a couple thousand people. All the players are up on a stage. They've got fancy equipment set up. They have huge monitors behind them. They have multiple casters. They have analysis desks. So they have casters that are good at, you know, play-by-play. Then between matches, they've got a desk of 3 to 5 people talking about what happened. They have halftime breaks between the matches where they analyze big plays, talk about what the strategies are, how substitutions of players are going in, what the map selection is like. They give you insight into the game. It's way, way different than your standard just let's have an online tournament that has, you know, high-level plays in it. But the production quality really pushes it over the edge into both approachable and interesting.
Nice. Yeah. I've heard on the radio before Overwatch League announcements, and you can also find them sometimes in sports bars, which is real cool. So why I started watching Overwatch League? I followed the game Overwatch for a while. Like, I was watching people play the closed, I was part of the open beta. I was watching people play the closed alpha stages for it, because some of my favorite streamers got invited. And it looked really cool, and it looked really awesome, and then I started hearing, hey, they're gonna do, like, this really, like Scott said, it looked really good. It wasn't just, like, other, like, StarCraft tournaments that I had seen sometimes, or just, like, hey, I'm getting this first-person stream, and there's, like, some casting happening over it, and it's kind of disjointed. Whereas this is, like, hey, I log on to the Overwatch League website, and it looks so nice. Like, sometimes the screen is split, sometimes they do a takeaway view of the map. The production quality was so solid. It was such a fun thing to get into, because I believe it was, like, Carter, myself, Scott, and I think Alex, we were all getting kind of into Overwatch League right as it started. And it was kind of fun for everybody to, like, hey, I'm going to get on tonight and watch Overwatch League. Do you want to watch at the same time? And we can talk about it. And then you just see some really ridiculously hilarious plays. And I love watching really good Overwatch be played. And it looks really nice when it's easy to see because of the production quality. It's easy to see who's doing what because the beams and the bullets and all sorts of things are different color coordinated. So it's really visually appealing. It's just a good time. It's a good time to do with, it's a good time to watch with other people. It's a good time because I really enjoyed the game. And even though I'm not always able to watch a ton of it, like, live, it's fun. It's fun to kind of just get into and talk about.
Yeah. I want to build on some of the points you said there real quick before we get into our next topic. One is that esports for me are also about kind of the social element. Like you said, you're talking with me, Carter, Alex about how things are going on. It's not just like, oh, did you see that Smash tournament happened over the weekend? It's like, yeah. It's kind of like an ongoing thing. And there are,
yeah,
just like you'd have for regular sports, people are setting up watch parties. Like, I was invited to a watch party that people at my company were like, hey, let's watch the Overwatch League playoffs, or let's watch the finals. I think Alex said, like, hey, I watched, like, a watch party of, like, the premiere of season 2. Anyways, there's kind of that element of socialization of it, which makes it more fun.
Yeah, you mentioned our friend Alex going to a watch party, and I've also gone to a watch party while I lived in Dallas. It was like one of my last weekends there in Dallas, and there was this watch party like in the city where they had these two huge projectors just projecting the game up, and it, like Scott said, was a really cool social experience. It didn't hurt that Dallas won that game. It was like their first win in like 3 weeks, but it was a very good experience. Like, there is a community around the Overwatch League that is unlike any esports community that I've experienced before. For yeah. example, I frequent Tumblr. For those of you who don't know
the Tumble,
and Tumblr, if you're not familiar, is like a pretty solid hub for fandom communities. Like, it's where Super Hulock really got its thing, or like Rise of the Frozen Tangled Dragons or whatever. Like, it is a hub for fandom. And one thing that I've seen is that unlike any other competitive esport, like, Overwatch League has a fandom with like regularly drawn fan art and like communication on this platform, which is so unusual. And like, I personally have a side blog set up just for Overwatch League, so I don't spam people with my Overwatch League bullshit. And like, I talk to people on there about like, oh no, Dallas is doing well, or Dallas is doing bad, blah blah blah. You know, like, people I don't even know, just, you know, because our URLs look similar, we're like, yo, let's talk. And so it's a really cool social experience.
And, you know, like every community, it has its pros and cons, and particularly when it comes to sports and esports, sometimes there is a very not great aspect to it. So, you know, if you want to find a nice community for Overwatch League, I would recommend doing it with people you know. Because just like every community, there's some pros and some cons. And sometimes it's just nice to, like, talk with your friends about Overwatch League and not have to worry about somebody saying some mean things about Overwatch and ladies and sports and esports.
I mean, that's true of a lot of... I'm going to compare it again to regular sports. Like, Carter said he went to a watch party. That's like basically the same thing as going to watch the game at a bar, whether the game for you is an Overwatch tournament or the Super Bowl, or, you know, it's a regular football game. You'll meet a lot of good people. A lot of people are also assholes, and you don't have to listen to them. So on that subject, let's end that subject and talk about season 2. I'm gonna collapse some topics here. Season 2, like we said, just recently started. Depending on how fast you're cranking out this episode, it was either last week or the week before or the week before that. there are a bunch of new teams, and that will make it more interesting. The format's going to be very similar, but I wanted to roll in like something that is very unique to esports, or at least somewhat unique, and that the rules change. The rules of football don't change between seasons. The rules of like how Overwatch is played don't really change, but characters are added. Characters are changed. And that kind of changes the structure of the game because people make new strategies. Like, it'd be like if the Hail Mary was invented last season in football. Things would change.
Yeah, that is a pretty solid comparison. I really love that about Overwatch. Let me compare it to a sport that I really want to like but don't. Basketball.
I think
basketball is a wonderful sport that has clearly broken rules. It is just painfully obvious to anybody who isn't like a diehard these rules are fine fan that like if the last minute of the game clock lasts 20 minutes, your rules are broken. That's just
Carter,
it.
Carter, you I haven't have... been watching enough sports anime to know that basketball is not about the points. It's not about the game. It's about the relationships.
What's about the heart of the cards?
It's about the relationships you make along the way and what color your hair is.
But my point is that Overwatch, for one, does not have referees, doesn't need them. The game handles everything. You know, you can't be out of bounds because the game won't let you go out of bounds.
If you are, you die.
If you are, you die.
And then we laugh.
Yep, Jeff Kaplan, the inventor of Overwatch, the big man himself, comes to your house and hits you with a bat. But the second thing that Jeff. I really like is that, like Scott said, the rules change. You know, maybe the rule changes are small. You know, this particular hero does 12 damage instead of 10, or this particular hero, their cooldowns are a little bit shorter or something like that. You know, those change the game slightly. But oftentimes what will happen is a new hero will get added, or, you know, maybe this particular map is in the pool, and so people are developing strategies around that map. And so each stage of the Overwatch League, which has four stages, is its own unique rule set. And so different teams really come up and shine during those different stages. For example, last season, for the first three stages, the Dallas Fuel were garbage. They were a team that was really good at running tanks. And then in the last stage, those tanks, which if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to our Overwatch episode. It explains what that is. But essentially, the rules changed so that they benefited. Like, their skill set was more valuable. And so that really promotes this this strategy in recruiting that benefits from flexibility. And I think that is something that's really cool. You know, you don't get somebody who's just really good at this one thing, because that thing might not be relevant in 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, it would be like if they changed, like, okay, instead of having to go 10 yards for a first down, you have to go 7. And it's like, or maybe you get more downs, and all of a sudden, like, passing becomes more important, or running becomes more important. And it's like, well, shit, I wish we wouldn't have to spend all our money on that star quarterback, because now we got to run.
Yeah,
it changes, like, what you pick for, so it keeps it interesting for the players, and also keeps everybody on their toes, and so you don't get stuck with, like, another football analogy that people aren't gonna like. You don't get stuck with, like, oh, Tom Brady all the time, because it's like, oh, sorry, passing is not really the hot strategy anymore. We're going for these slam dunk run plays where we do backflips over the linemen. That's what's new.
It also really contributes, kind of like we were saying earlier, to the fandom, the fans, the watching, the why it is so continually interesting to watch Overwatch League is because new maps come out, new heroes come out, some heroes get massively nerfed or massively buffed, and you are like, oh my god, they were such a Reaper main, or they were such a Winston main, and now Reaper got buffed. So how is this going to affect this? What's happening now?
Yeah, I really like the flexibility that Overwatch League gives to viewing. Rocket League, you know, to go back to that, well, did not have that flexibility so much, just because the game was very static. There's very little that changes within the game. The only thing that changes is how good people are, which, to be fair, is still elevating, which is really, really interesting to watch. But yeah, I think that really sums up how the stage changes affect the viewing experience. I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of the Overwatch League. You know, the dominant strategies are called metas. In Overwatch, and so seeing the meta shift from stage to stage, and then for me personally, as somebody who regularly plays Overwatch, seeing that trickle down into my level of play, although we are not able to as adequately execute those strategies, you still see some of those decisions trickle down and affect how my play goes.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good summary of how the game is kept interesting, not just by, you know, changes in the rule set, but also teams just discovering and adapting new strategies. Like, football rules don't change, and even other games, like, say, Melee game, which hasn't had a patch in, what, well over 10 years. It technically had patches when they released it in different regions. But yeah, it doesn't have a patch, and there's still new strategies developed because there's such variety in the play styles and different characters. So Overwatch has both, like, people discovering new strategies, kind of taking the game to the next level, and also the dev team coming along and be like, nope, fuck that, new strategies time.
So, I swear, once the dev team decides that they're bored with something, they'll like, well, what can we do to tweak that? Let's see if this gets it going.
Well, yeah, they're not just trying to do that. They're also trying to keep games fun for people who are not in the Overwatch League, like us, and also balance that as many levels as they can.
Yes. Yeah, but also if I was in their position, that's what I would do.
All right. Do we have any other topics you guys want to cover? I think we've got a good summary of all the events and stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm good. You guys are, if you have anything in particular.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to end on. What are fun names for comps that you guys have?
So comps, before comps we go there, compositions. Comps are, yeah, composition. How do you, it's both like which characters do you pick and how do you play them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of like upfront picks. And as an important point, if you are a MOBA person or just haven't played Overwatch but you're very game familiar, compositions are flexible within a game. Unlike Dota where you pick at the beginning and you're stuck, you can pick a character, go out the door, realize, oh, fuck that, go back and change your character immediately.
Yeah. This leads to some very interesting strategies. In fact, in this season alone, we've seen some very interesting things develop. Where players will come out with this very, very unorthodox composition on what are called King of the Hill maps, where essentially teams are contesting for a single objective and whoever has it for the appropriate amount of time first wins. And so what teams will do is they'll come out with this really unorthodox four damage hero composition, and then they'll capture the point, and then they will all rush back to spawn and swap to what is called the triple triple or goats, which is three tanks and three healers, which is a very good bunker defensive comp.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, if you want to capture a point in some game, you're like, I'm going to get like a close range shotgun and run in there, and then you go back and switch to a sniper rifle to defend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's very funny.
But it's even, you know, it's even more hilarious because they have to run off the point to go to spawn to swap. Yeah.
They have to go so far to do it, which is so very funny to me. But to your point, Diana, I really enjoy... it's not a composition so much, so it's not a collection of heroes, but it's... in Overwatch, there are ultimates, right? That is a core point of the game, is that you spend a lot of time building up these abilities and then you use them. And so a lot of times these ultimates, they're very synergized. And so one of them that I really like the name of is called the Space Jam, because it's one hero, Zarya, shoots out a miniature black hole. There's the space. And then another hero, Doomfist, his ultimate is that he jumps up really high in the air and then he comes down onto the ground really hard, you know, kind of like a slam dunk. And so you're there at the Space Jam. And so those two heroes, you know, they gel well together. That's one that I really like.
That's just a funny name. Unfortunately, not as common as I want it to be.
I know.
I'm a Zarya player. So her ultimate, the black hole called Graviton Surge, synergizes well with a lot of ultimates. But, you know, coming down from the sky with your fist hitting the ground, just killing everything in a circle, pretty fun use when they're all trapped inside a black hole.
See, now, one of my favorites is still Slambulance, just because I love the way it rolls off the tongue, and it's also such a good time.
Yeah, it's a good composition. That's a fun one. What are some other... Overwatch has developed a lot of very interesting slang that is unique to the community, and I think that probably all circles of friends who play Overwatch consistently together also develop this internal slang. For example, we have some where it's just... gosh, what do? We say, like... There's one hero whose ability is to like suck people up into one area. We call that the slurp.
Yeah, and we called so you can combine that where you like kind of quickly, you know, suck them all into one little ball, the slurp, and then another character has a hook on a chain that they can pull people in. We called it the slurp and pull, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Whereas the Overwatch League casters call it the ball and chain. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones. It's the first part isn't very funny. It's It is Graviton Surge, the little black hole that comes out, and then Tracer, she comes out with her, she has a pulse bomb, which is just like, you throw it out there, it's a bomb, it explodes. Makes sense.
It's a grenade. It's a sticky grenade.
Yeah, it's a sticky grenade. That's called Big Bomb. Or is
Big Bang.
Big Bang. It's called the Big Bang.
Because it's also space and explosion.
Also space themed. There's another hero, D.Va. Her ultimate is she rides around in a mech. And so her ultimate is that she throws her robot suit like into the air. She leaves it somewhere and then it explodes. And if you combine that with the Graviton Surge, that's called the Bigger Bang.
Because her mech exploding is like a nuclear explosion.
Yep. It is a lot bigger.
Yes. Harder to aim a grenade.
You know, I think part of the slang is also some fun times. It's part of like just the community. That's a good time. Like, we mentioned a character earlier has like a hook and chain. So you can sometimes Balrog things, if you will. Like, with the mech character that we mentioned earlier, when they set that explosion to go off, sometimes that character with the hook and chain will just take one for the team and hook it off the edge of the map so that their team is safe, but they also die in the process.
Yeah.
That's also a time.
It's very fun. Is there anything else we have to say about the Overwatch League?
No, I think that covers it.
I'm good.
I'm very happy.
All right. Please check out Overwatch League Season 2 happening right now, unless we really don't edit this episode fast. It is, what, Wednesday through Sundays?
Thursday through Sundays, yes.
Thursday through Sunday, twitch.tv/Overwatch League, all one word.
Yep. All right. Thank you for coming to our table. Check us out on Facebook and Tumblr at Brought to the Table. Check us out on Twitter at To the Table Pod. You can email us your suggestions or email us things that you would like us to talk about. We're always loving suggestions at broughttothetable@gmail.com. We've got our eyes on that one. I don't know why I'm saying if you have suggestions, because I just said that one.
If you want to tell us about your Overwatch team, your Overwatch life, if you want to agree or disagree, or if you just want to do you want to talk Overwatch to us?
Hey, man, if you want to play with us, hit us up.
Yo.
Yeah, hit us up.
All right. Thank you very much. We will catch you next time. Calzones.
Calzones with pineapple. All right, let's get started. Who's bringing us in?
I'll do it. I should pull up those notes.
Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table. I'm introducing our podcast today because Carter is incompetent.
That's fair. I deserve that one.
Yep.
And that's Scott's it. Officially Thanks taken for having over. Us. Please subscribe on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and
you know, we had a good
Tumblr
run,
account.
Guys. We had a good run.
Did we, though?